Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for Between the Ropes, immediately following WWE Raw. Brian Fritz here, along with Michael Wiseman, of course, from the BetweenTheRopes.com website. We appreciate everybody for joining in and watching here. Thanks for subscribing to our YouTube channel. If you haven't done that yet, just click that little button, subscribe to us. Also, make sure that you like our videos, share them, and feel free to comment. Plus, we've got the chat room open right now where you can take part in the conversation as we get set to talk a little WWE Raw. And also, we will talk about the WWE Night of Champions show, which is coming up this Sunday. Apparently, it's only on the WWE Network, but we all know you can get that on pay-per-view if you really want to shell out the bucks. Right, Michael?
That's right. And you know what else was on the WWE Network? It was the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast. And the reason I bring that up is because this time last Monday, we were going head-to-head with the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who helped make that our highest-rated live broadcast of all time. That's right, folks. We went head-to-head with Stone Cold Steve Austin and drew record numbers. That's Between the Ropes for you. That's right. Record numbers against Stone Cold Steve Austin.
How did I not have a beer ready for that, for a little beer bash, a little celebration on that one?
I mean, I got a Steve Weiser right here. Got a drink from a can in honor of Stone Cold Steve Austin and our victory. I consider it a victory. We didn't beat him, but we
I'm glad that you're taking a ride on the silver bullet tonight, you know?
Well, okay, here's the truth, okay? So I'm feeling a little under the weather. We did the dreaded trip to IKEA last weekend, and somehow or another I got sick over this weekend, right? It takes a while. It festers inside of you. And so I said, well, I probably shouldn't drink. So I got the closest thing to water that I could. Now, I didn't have a natural light, or a natty light, as we call them. But I got
it was the closest thing to water.
Well, you know, you kind of get all the same. I don't like a good light beer every once in a while, but figured, you know, I got to bring my A game for the show since, again, let me reiterate, we did record numbers against the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast. So in honor of that, here's our beer of the week. Nice little camp pop.
Nice. By the way, a little update. My desktop, which was dying, has been saved. It's been given a second life. And I do want to appreciate our good friend Justin, who actually works with Apple, for giving me some tips about how to possibly salvage anything that was not backed up or see if we could do anything with it. Unfortunately, it failed, even though I did. I was able to connect with my desktop computer through means that he told me about, but I could not access anything. But it didn't matter. I had everything basically backed up, and the computer has been saved. But if you do hear a noise that is not me, you hear something in the background, that's called the fan on my desktop, which I just got back today. So guess where it's going to be going after this broadcast? Back to the repair store, because I don't want this fan blowing up my desktop after it just got fixed. So
I got to give Justin's a nice guy. We got to give him a big shout out for obviously helping you out with your computer woes, which not even I can help you out with those. So yeah. You're on your own there, Fritzy. But Justin was nice enough to take us into Apple HQ back when we were out in San Jose for SummerSlam. So he is the man. We appreciate you being a fan. We appreciate all you guys being fans.
Yeah, we got to eat at the Apple Cafe, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. They serve stuff other than just apples, so it was kind of cool.
They had so many different kinds of food there. It was fantastic. We were just warned, do not pull out your cameras and take pictures, especially if it is not an Apple product.
They did let me walk in, though, with my Android Wear watch and my Nexus Google phone that is around here somewhere.
So. That's true. So. Oh, well. Let's get into Raw. We'll also talk a little bit about Night of Champions because, of course, that is coming up on Sunday. So we'll run down the matches for that, give a quick preview for that show as well. Oh, by the way, a little special shout-out to everybody that is supporting us on Patreon as well. If you haven't done that yet, you want to support us, help keep Between the Ropes going, just go to patreon.com/Between the Ropes. Even as little as $1 a month goes a long way to helping us out. So
helping make sure that Brian Fritz is a working computer.
There you go. So let's talk about Raw. So this is the final show going into a Night of Champions. What were your impressions of Raw?
Meh. I watched football all weekend and made the judgment call tonight that I was going to watch wrestling instead of football. Mm. And there were times tonight that I said I made the wrong judgment call, especially with some questionable promos by some guys who are pretty hungry.
I can't talk.
The big guy. What?
The mic.
He made some joke. That was awkward. That was a bad promo. And then there was that whole broken, damaged Angle Divas segment, and there was some botched stuff tonight, so, just story-wise.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so after watching this show tonight, are you more excited, less excited, or feel the same way about Night of Champions?
I gotta say, I'm a little less excited. I almost feel like tonight's show turned me off a little bit to certain storylines I was really digging. And I guess a lot of that dissatisfaction just comes with the way they handled some important storylines. And I'm going to go with that Divas angle. I wish they would have done nothing instead of what they did, which I feel like really hurts all the participants involved, because we can get into it. But things like that, things like Ryback giving that long soliloquy, again, just let the guy be a musclehead. We don't need him to come out there and deliver Shakespeare to sell a promo. Those kind of things just bored me a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, like, even before Raw tonight, I wasn't overly excited about Night of Champions. You know, I was looking forward to the top two matches, both involving Seth Rollins. But outside of that, it's like, it's just a show. It didn't feel like anything special was going on. And after Raw tonight, I feel the same way. So, I mean, nothing really changed, but I do agree with you. There was a couple of weird things that happened on the show tonight. So,
there was a lot of weird overhype. Like, they were like, oh, Monday, it's the season premiere. So I guess last week was the season finale of Raw. I don't really know how that works exactly, but there was all this, like, big major announcement, the biggest Miz TV of all time, and all this garbage, and it just amounted to diddly squat.
Well, I mean, the whole season premiere thing is weird because, guess what? Raw's on every week, okay? Right. So the whole thing was, we don't want to admit it, we don't want to say it, we don't want to mention the initials, but guess what? We were going up against the NFL tonight. We're going up against Monday Night Football. Not only any Monday Night Football game, but we're going up against the first one of the season. It was actually a doubleheader because as we tape this, guess what? Football is on right now. Mm. So, you know, that was one of the big things. And they did kind of run that into the ground, especially early on in the show. It's a season premiere, the season premiere. They talked about being the biggest episode of Miz TV, like you said. And it was nothing special. It was just the Wyatts out there. They were talking about the biggest Divas match of all time. So there was a lot of overhype in the show. I understand hyping up things and trying to make them important, but there's a difference between hyping and overhype. And when you say this is the biggest of all time, so many different times, yeah, Nobody believes it. And what happens all the time where it's like, oh, this is, you know, one of the biggest matches we've ever had on Raw, one of the biggest main events we've ever had on Raw, you know, different things like that. It just becomes deaf on everybody when you keep saying that over and over and over.
It has no meaning. You can't claim something is the greatest of all time. It's like my complaint about the biggest match of the best match of the year over and over and over again. And once you've beaten that dead horse, you've killed it. I don't know how else to put this, but you can't just overproclaim these things and expect them to mean more. They mean less. So I don't know. It was not in my mind. And we can talk about football because my fantasy team is now currently losing, which is unfortunate. But it was not the right way to handle going up against Monday Night Football. And I think when they do this thing, these kinds of things, it damages their reputation a little bit.
Well, how do you want to go through this? Do you want to go from beginning of the show to the end? You want to go in order, or do you want to go with where we sit? Okay, let's go through in order. Sure.
Go straight through, baby. Barreling through.
We haven't done that in a little while. So they actually opened the show with another promo, but it was a shorter promo. You had Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, talking about how this was the season premiere of Raw. And they were setting up all of the different matches that were going to take place, or some of the matches on the show. And they talked about Seth Rollins and how great he is. So in that vein, they were being heels, but then they also talked about Sting is going to be wrestling on Raw for the first time ever, which was a surprise. And then they set up the tag team match for the titles. It was going to be the New Day against the Primetime Players. And New Day came out, and they were doing their whole act, dancing around. Xavier Woods has the trombone and everything. So these guys are supposed to be heels, but they're the most entertaining, you know, act on the show.
They're the most, one of the most over acts on the show.
Absolutely. And then Stephanie McMahon starts dancing with them, and Triple H is leaving the ring. He decides, no, I'm going to go back in the ring. You think, like, he's almost got this look of what the hell is going on here. And then he starts dancing circa, you know, 1985 Vince McMahon.
Right.
With the New Day, which just was, you know, crazy. But
he's bringing back Tuesday Night Titans, y'all. It's going to happen.
It is, man. I was surprised that they were going to have Sting actually wrestle on this show. And they actually went through with it at the end of the show, which we'll get to.
Were you surprised when they announced that Sting was going to wrestle that they announced that his opponent was going to be the Big Show?
I was in pain when I heard that. My wife was looking at me because I literally let out this long groan. She's not even a wrestling fan, but she's sitting next to me reading a book. And like they announced that match, and I go, oh, and she was just like, what happened? I go, dear Lord, why are they going to do this match? I go, it's painful, because the thing that I was worried about is, this is going to hurt Sting, because if he has a bad match, it's going to be like, okay, people are going to think this dude is old. He's washed up. Why do I want to see him on Sunday? I mean, they got out of it, and they protected him. But still, I don't know how many people were hanging around going, man, Sting's going to be in the ring against the Big Show. I mean, the last time I saw this, it was like NWO Black and White against the Wolfpack or something back in 1996.
You could just hear the air deflate out of the arena. It was this big high, right? Sting on Monday Night Raw for the first time ever. Yeah! Against the Big Show. Like, it just...
Dead silent.
Dead silent. I don't... Why? Big Show is always ridiculed because he can't really wrestle that well anymore. He's not that athletic. Why would you put Sting against him? What is... How does that committee meeting go in the back?
That's a very good question. Well, here's the thought. Oh, well, Sting can be Big Show, and that looks impressive because Big Show is the world's largest athlete. You know, and it's flawed thinking because of what Big Show is, because every week he turns babyface or heel.
Right.
I mean, it's a running gag right now. By the way, and I want to point this out too, because I mentioned the whole thing about the opening segment with Triple H and Stephanie and then them dancing with New Day. But I don't understand the role of the authority right now, because you can't tell, are they baby faces? Are they heels? And this whole, well, it doesn't really matter what they are. It does matter who they are, man. And I don't know how to take them, because this was an ongoing theme that we even saw later on in the show. I'll mention it right now. We'll talk about it a lot more, but in the main event. So they come out, and they want to see Big Show beat up Sting. They're all excited about seeing Sting out there, but they want to see Big Show beat him up because, you know, got to soften him up to protect their boy Seth Rollins for Sunday at Night of Champions. But then Seth interferes. It's a DQ. Cena makes the save. And then the authority announces the tag team match between the four, which enrages Rollins and Big Show. And I'm like, so what's going on here with these guys?
Well, it's simple. The authority has one purpose, and that is to maintain the integrity of the matches in WWE. You'll notice that's why Stephanie McMahon came out at the end of the Divas match, and we'll get to that in a minute. But obviously, it seems like their role is to maintain the integrity of the sport that is professional wrestling. Now, why they ignore, 95% of the foul happenings in the ring is beyond me. But it doesn't matter, Brian. We don't have to understand it. We forgot what happened last week already because we're dumb wrestling fans. But just keep in mind that they will be there to protect the integrity of a Divas match if something goes wrong. Okay?
I guess, but it just...
Listen, that's the
other thing too. So Stephanie McMahon comes out there, and like you said, she's the one that says, oh, there was something nefarious that happened in the Divas match. So guess what? We're going to bring it back. But on Sunday, we're not going to restart it now. But come Sunday, we're going to have a rematch.
What would you have Stephanie McMahon do, Brian? Okay, listen.
Why not restart the match?
it's the Divas Revolution. What would the Divas Revolution be without Stephanie McMahon? I mean, these Divas, what were they before they came to the main roster? Mm. They were just these little women down there in this little brand called NXT, whatever that garbage is, right? And they were down there, what, wrestling a little bit? Come on. Until Stephanie McMahon introduced them to the wide world of wrestling, these NXT women, right? They weren't even Divas. They were women. They were nothing. Stephanie McMahon has made this Divas Revolution. She is keeping the integrity of this sport. We should be praising the authority. God,
I know that I'm jumping ahead here a little bit, but on that same kind of rant, what was your reaction when they said for Charlotte, this is the biggest match for her career being on this level?
Yeah. Yep.
On this level.
Well, okay.
I understand it though, but I mean, obviously, it's the show. I mean, you're on Raw, you're on the main roster, but for anybody that's a smart fan, and obviously, you know, it's a vocal minority. Okay, let's be honest about it. But at the same time, it's just kind of like when you really read into it, you're like, give me a break. Come on, we all know that all the workers, or at least were, you know, in NXT, and they haven't really been unleashed on the main roster since they got brought up there. And I'm talking about, obviously, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks. But
well, and I got to say that if you are basing it off of title lineage, which really used to mean something back in the day, I think now in the modern wrestling era, it's not quite as big of a deal. But title lineage, the Divas Championship, for better or worse, does have a more rich, illustrious history than the NXT Championship, which has only been around for about 2 years. So from that perspective, I get why the Divas belt could mean more to Charlotte. Again, though, her opponent is Nikki. And, you know, I don't know.
When I see that title, I almost want Alexa Bliss to get brought up and have it, because that would be the real-life Barbie having the Barbie belt.
Right. That could be good.
Because that is a Barbie belt, to say the least.
Yep. So, yep. She's a Barbie girl.
Yeah. Maybe they should bring back Kelly Kelly so she can.
Yep. Kelly.
Okay. So New Day took on Primetime Players. We had Xavier Woods with the trombone at ringside, and he was distracting people and having so much fun on the trombone. At one point, Titus O'Neil actually grabbed the slider from the trombone so he couldn't play it. What a heel move. But it ended up backfiring on him. And Titus ended up getting pinned. It wasn't much of a match, and it's funny because
it was all right. No,
the match was fun. I mean, how long did they about? They went about 12 minutes.
12 minutes,
so,
yeah.
So I mean, it was fine. It was what we expected. So now New Day's going to face the Dudleys at Night of Champions. You know, you can't help but feel a little bit sorry for Primetime Players. They're in a bit of a corner in that they're supposed to be the baby faces taking on the heels, but yet the heels shouldn't be heels because they're the most entertaining act on WWE television right now.
Right, right. Yeah, this is part of the problem again with, I know WWE says we don't have good guys and bad guys, right? But obviously the New Day is over like Rover. They have earned that spot. They are getting cheered. And they're having to downplay it just a smidge because they're going up against the Dudleys. However, I think that's why it's working. I think it's working because they're put in a situation where they're given a crap gimmick. They were given crap roles, and they have had to earn that spot, to work doubly as hard to earn that spot. So I kind of like this going against the grain babyface. I think it works pretty well for them. It works better than some of the other ones where fans just cheer them because they can. They're doing good stuff, and we'll see how it goes down on Sunday. But either way, that's probably the match I'm looking forward to the most at this point. I don't know. Cena Rollins could be fun, but that tag match is going to be a heck of a time on Sunday.
By the way, reminder, as you're watching us live, we do have the chat room open, and you can ask your questions there, take part in the conversation as well. And we will definitely get some questions here soon. Following that, they did announce backstage that, you know, Seth Rollins is backstage with Triple H and with Stephanie, and they announced that John Cena would be in action tonight on Raw as he would face Sheamus. They also did Renee Young interviewing Charlotte and Ric Flair, and Charlotte had the side of her head bedazzled for some reason. But they just talked about the big opportunity facing Nikki and trying to end her title reign before she became the longest reigning Divas champion in WWE history, which it's funny how this all came together. And I'm not even sure if it's like not that it really matters. I could care less, but I know some people pointed out, like, is it really legit when it comes to the timing of, is that when the title reign is going to end or not? But it is what it is.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Bill Goldberg had like a streak of about 1,000 wins without any pinfalls. And we already checked this on the show one time. Wrestling history is full of lies. Also, wrestling is fake. So therefore,
what? Hey, Dana White, how dare you use the F word on this?
Predetermined. Therefore, does it really matter if it's the exact day or not?
Nah, well, that's close enough. So they had Sasha Banks against Paige. Sasha won. She got the bank statement on and got the submission. During this match, though, Paige gave Sasha just this wicked German suplex, and Sasha landed on the back of her head and rolled out. So, of course, when somebody takes a nasty bump, let's show it again in slow motion. And it looked really, really bad. But Sasha's tough, and looks like she didn't get shaken up or anything by that. So that was good news. It wasn't anything that either of them did wrong. It was just one of those things where you take a bump, and man, she got dropped. Yeah. They had the very, very nice package for Connor McCaelic, and plugging Connor's cure, which everybody can check out. Obviously, it is a Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month.
It's like Stephanie McMahon tweeted one time, when big corporations get into the business of philanthropy, it's good for business. You know, you got to really admit that their heart's got to be in the right place with tweets like that. So,
well,
sorry.
Regardless, it is a great cause.
Whoa, man, that hits too close to home for some people.
I was gonna say, man, is there a horse in there that you're standing on, like a high horse? Is there a soapbox in your room right now?
I'm just kidding. I am not bitter about this. Now there were all the stories, right? All the stories that came out last year about how WWE played this up for their own benefits, and we won't get into that today. I think this bothers me, and granted, it's going to a great cause, and I think that's fantastic. This bothers me a lot less than all the warrior stuff they've been doing. That really bothers me. We've talked a little bit about that some ourselves, but, Warrior was a racist at times, just like Hulk Hogan.
He was a homophobe.
Right. So let's just keep these things in perspective sometimes. Right. Anyway, I think it's awesome that they do a lot for the troops, for different cancers, pediatric cancer, now breast cancer every October, of course. So at least there is some money going to some really good causes out there.
Let me also point this out when it comes to Warrior. We say those things. I don't know. I mean, he had obviously made a lot of outlandish comments over the years. I don't know if he had changed or ever apologized before he passed away. I hope he did. I never heard it, but that's not to say he didn't do it. But at the same time, he did say some things that I think get overlooked way too many times.
Yeah.
And obviously, as a feel-good story of bringing him back to WWE, it was just horrible that the guy did pass away. But a lot of things got brushed over when it came to being able to bring him back in the fold so he could have that big moment of him going into the Hall of Fame and then appearing the following night on Raw. So there was a lot that was going on there, and I think some stuff definitely does not get discussed the way that it should. So
I'm going to get off my high horse now. We're going to have a fun show, y'all. Y'all keep on sticking right here to the most watched Between the Ropes podcast this week.
Why don't you chug a little bit of beer just for the entertainment of this?
There we go. It's chugging some beer. I just read about how they're closing the Coors factory here at Eden, North Carolina, so more power to you.
Wow.
Why are they closing? 500, I don't know. 525 people are going to lose. It's the Miller Coors factory, I guess. 525 people are going to lose their jobs. So there you go.
That's no good. They did Miz TV, which was what it was. You had the Wyatts out there. And Bray Wyatt said, "Hey, Miz, you're an idiot for putting yourself in harm's way." So Ambrose and Reigns came down to the ring. Dean threw Miz over the top rope, chucked him out of the ring, and then Roman got on the mic and just said, "We're going to fight you come Sunday. And guess what? There's only two of us right now, but we found a partner, so we'll have a third come Sunday at Night of Champions." Bray laughed at him, and they did not announce who the third man will be. So we've got a cliffhanger for Night of Champions.
Who's it going to be, Brian? Seth Rollins rejoined the Shield.
There, somebody tried to start the rumor it was Baron Corbin because there was a graphic that was making the rounds online on the interwebs, but that was a fake. So as far as I know, it is not Baron Corbin. I don't know who it's going to be. I would think that if Eric Rowan is healthy, maybe, but that is unexciting to say the least. And to me, I don't want to see that. And like I said, I don't even know if he's healthy, if he's been cleared or not. One name that some people have been bringing up, I don't know if I think it's more wishful thinking than anything, but I've heard the name Samoa Joe.
Okay.
I could see it, I guess.
Okay. But
here's the thing. We all like Joe. All of us very serious, hardcore fans. Do the masses that would watch Night of Champions, especially ones in attendance, would they all know who Samoa Joe is? That's a big question.
But and, people and would all, be – go ahead.
No, and well, the other point that I was going to say is I have been a staunch believer that they did not hire Joe to put him on the main roster. I said it's never – I never said it was impossible and it wouldn't happen. I said it was improbable and likely would not happen. And I'm still going to hold to that. Joe is super talented. I would love to see him on the main roster. I just don't think WWE wants to put him there.
So – I guess my thinking is Joe would have more of an impact than a lot of the guys who are down at NXT right now. So if you're going to bring up somebody, that might make some sense. I think
it could be who was it? One, the which USO was it? I apologize. That got involved on SmackDown.
So it was what?
Is it Jimmy?
Jimmy, and then so they could bring in Jay, but that would be unexciting as well. So, like, I don't know. You could bring in Daniel Bryan. That could be kind of cool. Is he healed up yet?
Do you imagine if Daniel Bryan got cleared and he was the mystery third?
That would be it.
That'd be monstrous.
You could bring up Finn Balor. I don't know. I do have to give a shout out to Locust, who pointed this out. The Miz, we have to remember, the Miz is, he's been running the Miz TV for quite a while. He's a respected journalist inside that squared circle. And he finally, somebody asked Bray Wyatt, what do you want? Bray Wyatt's always out there giving us these nursery rhymes and fairy tales and leave it to the Miz to directly ask Bray Wyatt, what do you want? Appreciate that.
By the way, I know that you are a biased Miz fan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like what they're doing with Miz. I mean, He has just become just a running joke on those shows. And I think Miz has a lot more to offer than what they have. I mean, the guy's talented. I know people sit there and go, oh, his matches are still pretty horrible and everything. I don't think they're that bad. And I just think it's one of those things where he's not wrestling on TV every week. I don't know how much he's wrestling in house shows, but Miz is never going to be the best worker, but he's solid. There's nothing that really stands out bad about his work, I think. And obviously, he's very good talking. I think you've got something in him that you have. I mean, he's got a lot more charisma than a lot of the other guys and has the ability to talk. And they trusted him on the mic for so long. I just don't understand why they don't do anything with him.
It's like they're afraid to put him back into that main slot. Like, I don't know. They just think he can't get back over and be back up there. I'll never forget when he lost the belt, they said they still had plans for him in that main event picture. And they just dropped him off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And he's not the best worker, but against the right guys, he's got a pretty good work rate. When he's out there consistently doing his thing, he had some pretty good matches in his title run. So it seems like a waste, but on the other hand, when you want to have this pseudo-celebrity, pseudo-wrestler, sometimes it makes sense to use him in this role. It's kind of like Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods is pretty good in the ring, but right now he's a manager and he's a promoter and he's working really well in that role. So I don't think it's working for The Miz, but apparently somebody does. Somebody must love Miz TV. I don't know who. But...
By the way, Matt in the chat room brought up that Daniel Bryan says he's been cleared by his doctor, but the WWE doctor hasn't cleared him. We've talked about this, and I've talked to Daniel Bryan about this too. And the whole thing is he's got a doctor that has worked with the NFL. I believe it's the doctor for the Arizona Cardinals. Okay, so it's an NFL doctor who's worked in the Super Bowl, who has cleared him, but the WWE doctors and WWE themselves will not clear him or have not yet. If they have cleared him, we haven't heard about it, and Daniel's sitting there just dying for the opportunity. But WWE is being extremely cautious when it comes to him, and there's been a question of, when they might clear him and if they will ever clear him. You know, there's even been some belief that maybe if they do clear him, it's not going to be until later on this year or maybe sometime next year, you know, or who knows, maybe they're just so worried about his concussions, which he talked about in his autobiography, that maybe they're just not going to clear him. It's a tough situation because they want to protect the guy, and obviously they're protecting themselves too in this, okay? But they want to protect the person from themselves. But Daniel's sitting there going, hey, you know what? It's my body. I've been cleared. In fact, I've gone through some tests where they've gone through all these different tests on his head, and they say, there's nothing wrong. You don't have any residual effects from any of the concussions. In fact, you're as sharp and your brain function is top-notch. So there's no problems there. So he's sitting there going, what do I have to do to get cleared then?
I just hope that they bring him back in a meaningful way. I also hope that whoever this third man is on Sunday delivers some kind of impact, because if it is, like you suggested, Eric Rowan, I think we're all screwed for that match.
It's AJ Styles. I didn't want to tell anybody, but it's AJ. Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler. It's Kurt Angle. Oh, wait.
Mm-hmm. He's taking some time off, you know. That way, when he comes back to the ring at the age of 65, he'll be in better shape to wrestle.
That's true. So, no, they did that segment. Nobody fought. Oh, by the way, all night long, they were showing, like, classic NWA, WCW clips of Sting and big matches that he had, which is a nice touch. They did John Cena against Sheamus, which John Cena won. It was about a 15-minute match. It was actually a good match, and they had pretty good heat. So, these guys work together. Hey, John Cena, once again, on Raw, having a good match.
Mm-hmm. Match of the year, baby. Match of the year.
Match of the year. Mm-hmm. M-O-T-Y. Mm-hmm. Here comes... I got to pause for this. Here comes the interesting segment of the night. And I say that very facetiously. So the big guy, Ryback, was in the ring and decided he was going to cut a promo. He was instructed to cut a promo. And
this was not scripted. Was this? This wasn't. There's no way. This
had been scripted. This was scripted. Okay.
Somebody wrote this?
Trust me. It was not only written for Ryback. He read it word for word. I mean, he memorized every preposition, every pronoun, every adjective, everything that was in this promo that was written out on a piece of paper. He said it, and he said it like he had the piece of paper in his hand, and he was reading it word for word, okay?
What about the part where he sang? Was that scripted?
Yes, I guarantee that was. So he talked about how being in Memphis, there was a guy named Kevin Owens who had the big guy all shook up, and he did a little Elvis Presley shimmy, and the crowd didn't give a rat's ass. Okay, there was no reaction. He had to break the silence, and he said, thank you. So, yeah. And he had to go on, so he went on. And he said that he was a true champion, and he was talking about being the big guy and everything and being a fighting intercontinental champion. Luckily, Kevin Owens came out, and guess what? KO had the book, The Secret, which, as we all know, holds the power of Ryback and his strength. You know,
so Ryback did talk about this book. Is it like that? That actually happened, right?
Yes, he did. Okay. By the way, that book was not that thick, so it couldn't have been that big of a secret. Okay. If you saw that book, man, it was like it was almost like the Cat in the Hat. Okay. But anyway, Kevin Owens came out and just talked about how, hey, you know what? Fine, you read this book, but you know what? You are a weak man if you have to rely on a book like this. And he tried to toss the book out of the ring. It hit the ropes. So, of course, Ryback, for whatever reason, decided he had to point this out. He was like, didn't get out. So Kevin Owens kicked the book out. Then he said, Ryback then had to point out, didn't get it all out, because the book cover came off. Kevin Owens picked up the book cover, continued with his promo, and threw the cover in Ryback's face. Like, oh, shut man. Your hole. I am going to dominate this promo. And, oh my God.
What I think my favorite part was when Ryback said, you know, you come out here and talk about, like, you know, everything's not been given to you. And he says, and everything was given to me. And I'm like, no, that's not, you're not, yeah. You're helping.
He goes, making it was given to me and then it was taken from me. And then I had to work myself back up. Like nothing was given to you and you had to work your way up for all those years. It was backwards booking to say the least.
I'm really excited because I was going to add a new category to our end of the year this year called Worst Promo of the Year. And that category in the last 2 weeks has quickly been changed to Worst Ryback Promo of the Year because we have a number to choose from this week, last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. So, you know, this one's in the running for that.
By the way, all the importance of all of this, the big guy said he had talked to the authority already and it was going to be him against Kevin Owens for the IC title at Night of Champions. Feed me more. Get out of the ring.
We're pretty excited about this, though, right? I mean, I'm excited to see Kevin Owens get his first singles belt in WWE on the main roster.
He's going to win the championship?
Oh, dear Lord. There's no way they can keep that belt on Ryback after these last 2 weeks.
Oh, my friends. Oh, my friends.
No.
I don't know.
No. There's no way.
So this was awkward, and they followed it up with another very awkward segment in that you had the Ascension and Stardust come to the ring. Neville and the Lucha Dragons came out after them, charged the ring, fought them off. Were they going to have a match? No. Just fought them off. Heels went to the back. And then they announced later, oh, by the way, they're going to have a match on the pre-show of Night of Champions.
Mm. At least they actually brought out the new group this week and actually talked about them and instead of just ignoring them like they've done for previous weeks.
I like how the Ascension won a match on SmackDown and there was somebody that was actually in the front row opposite the hard camera that stood up and clapped when the Ascension got a pin. I'm like, you are the only one, Chief. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He was really digging it. He went home right afterwards and watched Mad Max Fury Road, new to Blu-ray and DVD.
A good movie, though, okay? I did not see the Ascension on that.
Hey, this is where we cut into our... Hey, Brian, you know, I heard there's this great movie on Blu-ray out by Warner Brothers and Lionsgate.
Are you talking about Mad Max Fury Road?
That's it. Have you seen it? It's fantastic.
I have seen that movie, and it is nonstop action. A classic.
Tom Hardy is incredible in that film. You absolutely should go watch it again.
Charlize Theron is a beaut. And the Beast all at once.
That's okay. That's it. Pay us money now. Money.
By the way, speaking of pay us money, I want to point something out, okay? So every now and then, you know, we both like watching football. We play in our fantasy leagues, you know, sometimes you're in pick 'em contests and whatnot, okay? If you have watched any TV, and I mean any TV, over the last couple of weeks, you have seen the proliferation of ads for two different companies, one, DraftKings.com, the other, FanDuel.com, urging you to make bets because you can win millions and millions and millions of dollars, okay? You could be a primetime player, you know? By the way, one of the FanDuel ads, the guy doesn't even say how much money he's won, and they have it in the corner, and it says, won $349.
Yeah. My favorite is the DraftKings ad where the guy's like, the only difference between me and somebody else is that I put up some money and I won. It's like, no, that's not quite how it works.
Right. So anyway, the crux of the story is me being the degenerate that I could be sometimes, I decided to actually put some money in one of these accounts. And I'll say which one. I went to FanDuel.com and I did deposit a few bucks. So I played in two different tournaments, right? I saw the tournaments and I saw how many people were up. One was one with a lot of people with a bigger prize or it said money determined in this one or whatever it was. Okay. As I'm looking at it right now, but they had one that was like that. They had a lot more people and then there was a smaller one. So I picked a lineup and I decided to play the lineup for both of the tournaments, right? The big one and the small one. And obviously with the smaller one, there's a smaller payout. It said all the winnings for that one was like $1,500, right? So I'm sitting here after the games on Sunday and I hadn't checked it all day. I look and I go, dude, I'm in third place.
Nice.
I'm in third place, and I got two guys going on Monday night. I could win some big money, okay?
Okay.
So tonight, during football, I'm looking at this, and I dropped back a couple of places, okay? But I was just like, man, I got Carlos Hyde going in the later game. I'm only down by like 10 points, whatever it is. And everybody else that's in front of me, they're done. They have no more players, right? As I'm looking at this right now, Carlos Hyde has delivered for my team. I am in first place in a tournament on FanDuel.com.
Okay.
I'm in first place.
Okay. Yeah, nice. That's awesome, man. Big money.
Apparently, somebody didn't read the fine print. Because guess what? While you can win big money in these tournaments, what I didn't realize is the particular tournament that I'm playing in, it's not, hey, the winner gets $1,500. It is the top 60 people each get $25. Doesn't matter if you are first or 60th, anywhere in there, $25. Winning this thing. Nobody else has any more players going that's within range of me. And I'm going to win. It's the first time I've ever done this. And all I'm going to win is $25.
How much did you put in?
Five.
Okay. Well, you...
I'm playing against 335 people, I believe it is.
It's got a five-time return on your investment.
Yeah. $5 entry fee. First place out of 335 people. I'm going to win $25.
There you go.
How did I screw that up?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you had played same team, that same team, I played in a tournament, prizes, $250,000. But guess what? In that one, it's like the first – there's 27,169 people playing in that one, okay? That one, it's like the first 1,000 people get like $20 or what, yeah. Whatever it comes out to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in 118th position in that one. So I'm going to win $20 there. So I'm going to win. After doing as well as I've done, the first time I've ever played one of these, I am going to walk away, that's right, with 45 big ones, baby. Woo! Nice.
Good work.
I thought today, I was sitting there going, I've got an opportunity to win $1,500 tonight. No, I don't. Guess what? Whoops. I didn't, but I am winning that thing. I should get some bonus points. I should get something for that, man.
We'll give you some BTR points. You got good some BTR brownie points.
You know how disappointing that was? I was sitting there earlier today wondering, what could I do with $1,500? What irresponsible things could I buy with $1,500?
Funny you should mention it. You know what you could do? You could go out and buy Mad Max Fury Road now on DVD and Blu-ray.
I could buy it on both.
VHS.
I could.
Cassette tape.
I would Betamax. Get laser disc, okay, with a big picture of Tom Hardy attached to the front of the truck with the
God.
Man, I really was sitting there thinking I was going to win. Like, I had a chance to win $1,500, and what could I, you know, basically squander this money on, like freaking making it rain? And then I had a really responsible idea what to do with the money. But guess what? I'm not getting the money, and I finish it in first.
Well, speaking of getting your hopes up and getting disappointed, what happened next on Raw, Fritzy?
Well, that would be the Divas Championship match, as Nikki Bella would take on Charlotte, and Nikki needing to escape with a victory to become the longest reigning Divas Champion in WWE history. And she still is. So basically what they did is, we all know about Twin Magic. And guess what?
We know about twin magic. So the
referee had his back turned. Brie Bella tried to get involved in the match. Alicia Fox had actually gotten involved. The referee was pushing her out of the ring. So Brie jumped in, tried to get Charlotte. Charlotte pinned Brie. The ref counted the pin. She won the title. Ric Flair even came down to the ring. He's celebrating, tears in your eyes and everything, right? And Nikki and Brie and Alicia Fox are all outside the ring crying. They're pulling out. Was that like paper from her bra? Is that what that was?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Tissue. So we get to see it. So she's pulling out. There's tissue all over the place. You don't even see where it came from, but there's tissue all over the place saying, it wasn't me. And finally, Stephanie McMahon, the voice of reason in the WWE, comes out and says, sorry, Charlotte, pinned the wrong person. The integrity of the Divas Championship is on the line here. So guess what? You won the match. You didn't win the title. So Nikki is like, woohoo! But they did say they're going to have the rematch in Night of Champions, and it's basically a no-disqualification match. Or if Nikki loses the match in any form, pinfall, submission, DQ, count out, she loses the championship. So they're going to do the match again. This got a lot of mixed feelings.
Oh, mixed.
That's nice.
Media.
That's generous.
Because I've heard some people say creative booking, and it sets up the rematch. And then I've heard other people say that was a screw job of epic proportions.
So you can do something creative. There are so many other ways you could have handled this. Like maybe even if you had had Charlotte pin, if she pins Brie and all of a sudden she realizes it's not Nikki and then she's confused and Nikki gets the roll-up pin, I would have liked that better. The thing that, okay, so maybe Twin Magic tricks Charlotte. The thing that really drives me crazy about this is you give her the moment. You take it back away. So we've seen the moment now, even though it doesn't count. We've seen Charlotte celebrate the moment. It doesn't matter. And then on top of that, the person that rains on her parade is Stephanie McMahon in a babyface fashion. It's so convoluted. It's so confusing. It's so inconsistent. The match was okay. But the finish had so many things working against it. Stephanie McMahon does not need to have her business all up in the Divas division like this. It's hurting people. It's hurting them desperately. And again, why do we need – don't give Charlotte the moment. If you want to make this creative booking, let her get so close again and we feel that pain. And Sunday she gets it. But don't do it in this fashion. And don't do this thing where this one night Stephanie McMahon has got to call her out. I call the Bella Twins out for Twin Magic this one time.
Right. I am not a big fan of Stephanie being involved in this at all. I didn't even like it when Stephanie introduced the Diva Revolution that's going on in NXT and announced, you know, when the women got called up. I don't like any portion of that. It's just so fixed. Okay. And it's not natural. It's not organic. Okay. And to be involved here when she's supposed to be heel, but I mean, it's, that goes back to the whole who's a baby face, who's a heel. And that's why those roles are important. Even in this day and age, they are important. I think what's not as important is the reaction you get from, or the crowd reaction is more important than the way somebody acts. Okay. Even if you act like a heel, and Stone Cold Steve Austin many times did, but he got the reaction of the crowd that was behind him. It's a different kind of heel than what we're used to from many years ago. Look at what the New Day is doing. They're supposed to be heels, but they're so entertaining and they're going out there. They're baby faces, you know? And it's not like they're cheating in matches or anything. If they were cheating in matches all the time, then I'd say, yes, they are heels, but they're not. The other thing is, and I think this is the reason why this was a mistake. You hit it right ahead. You gave away the moment of Charlotte winning the championship. And I understand trying to get more sympathy on her and everything like that, but you can't give away the moment because once it's gone, it's gone. It's supposed to be unique. It's supposed to be special. That first time when somebody beats Nikki Bella, you take that title, especially somebody like Charlotte, and you've taken that away already. So yep. I almost now, like, I really don't think she's going to win it. Maybe it will be somebody else. Maybe it'll be Becky Lynch, or maybe it'll be Sasha Banks that actually is the one that beats Nikki for that title.
It just, it completely killed my excitement about, well, two things, the Divas Evolution and this match on Sunday. And even if it is Sasha Banks, good for her, but this whole Divas Revolution thing has been botched so many ways from Sunday. It just, like you said, it doesn't feel organic. It feels very forced. And to finish it, this, I mean, who knows? Maybe she does win it on Sunday. But to culminate in this moment, in this episode, in this scene, it just drives me up a freaking wall. There is some other good news in Divas Division we'll get to in a little bit. But
yeah, I just didn't understand that, you know. And I mean, they're going to do the match on pay-per-view, and I'm sure they'll have a good match. I don't think it'll be horrible, but I mean, they'll have a good match. It's just, you know, are people really going to be as into it if she wins the title? And I don't know if she's going to. See, and here's the other thing, too. You had Stephanie coming out there, and I've seen this in the past. You had a screw job finish. Why not just restart the match? What if they restarted the match and Charlotte won then? Would it have mattered as much, or what if Nikki had won then? I mean,
you should have done that. That would have made a lot more sense. Like, I guess I don't understand in Stephanie McMahon's mind, if I'm thinking through this logically, which I shouldn't be because of professional wrestling, but because I am, because I'm a professional wrestling critic, I don't understand why Stephanie McMahon gives her a pass. And secondly, why Nikki would have just ended the match within the first 5 minutes by DQ because she could walk out the champion anyway.
Do you think it would have been a better finish if they had done the twin magic? Brie had actually rolled her up, pinned her, and Stephanie said, I know what happened here, so guess what? You are going to have the rematch on Sunday with all the rules that are on it, but Nikki actually won this match, and you didn't give away that moment of Charlotte thinking she was the yes. championship.
Yes. That would have helped it some. I again, I still think it's a little bit too much.
And Nikki could have throws a fit going, I won. And then you're like, no, you didn't. You know, you still have the championship, but guess what? You got to put it on the line again. And if you screw around, if there's any more shenanigans, you will lose the title.
Yeah. Well.
It would have been nice to see, but that's not what they did. Rusev against Cesaro, short match. Cesaro got the win. Hey, guess what he did? There was a distraction, and he rolled Rusev up for the pin from behind.
well, that's original.
In the middle of this match, Summer Rae was ringside. Dolph Ziggler came down and was giving her a present, and she didn't want to accept it, so Dolph put it down on the announcer's table, and Rusev got distracted by all of this, so he got rolled up, pinned, and then after he loses the match, Ziggler jumps in the ring and super kicks him. What a meanie. I mean, he's trying to steal his girl and super kicks the dude. And Rusev's just getting, you know, ganged up on here. I mean, Rusev comes off like as a sympathetic figure in all this.
Well, Rusev is a foreigner. I mean, he kind of asked for it. But this is Trump's. This is Donald Trump's America. And Rusev, we're going to build a border over whatever Bulgaria or Russia.
Wait a second. Let me ask you something.
Uh-huh.
That gear that Rusev is wearing, okay, it's got some letters on it right on his waistband. Does that mean Trump?
Yep. No, wait, he can't be Trump because they're going to build a border around his country, around the whole United States. Hey, Jordan Mueller in the chat room. He says he's our biggest fan. I know that's probably not the case because we have a few other number one super fans, but sure. He's one of them. I got to give you a shout out, Jordan, because you asked for one, and I'm feeling generous tonight because –
By the way, Ratnick, real quickly, is correct. How about no Stephanie involvement at all? Thumbs up on that, buddy. I totally agree with you there.
Two thumbs up.
But that angle, I don't like it from a standpoint that Ziggler comes off being the jerk, basically. And Rusev, I feel bad for Rusev. And then they did the whole thing where in the back, Rusev is incensed. Summer Rae doesn't go in the locker room. She opens up the present because she grabbed it after the match. And she was helping Rusev to the back. She happened to grab the present. And then when she opened it up, what was it, like earrings or something?
Yeah, it was earrings. Okay.
So they did that. And then in the final segment, they actually did have a match between Sting and Big Show. It lasted under 2 minutes before Seth Rollins came to the ring, both titles in hands. And he attacked Sting, beating him up. So Sting won his first match ever on Raw by DQ, beating the Big Show in under 2 minutes. So then the power couple of Triple H and Stephanie McMahon came out and said, hey, guess what? We're going to make this into a tag team match. And that's after Cena actually came down and made the save. So then they said, we're going to make this tag team match. Rollins was not thrilled, even though the Authority were there ringside to not only see Sting have his first match ever on Raw, but they wanted to see him get beat up by the Big Show. So make sense of that. They do the tag match, and you'll never guess what happened in that tag match. Big Show got pinned.
Well, that's a shocker. The guy that's not wrestling.
No, actually, I'm sorry. He did not get pinned. What am I thinking? He did not get pinned. It looked like he was going to get pinned. He took an attitude adjustment. And then Rollins got involved, and he was going to hit the pedigree on Cena. And instead, Sting came up from behind him, gave him the Scorpion Deathlock, and then put him in the submission hold and tapped out from the Scorpion Deathlock.
There you go.
And that was surprising. I think that, not that I ever thought Sting was going to win the championship, but in WWE's booking logic, that right there tells me he has no chance come Sunday.
But like Matt in the chat room pointed out, Sting's WWE record tonight went from 0-1 to 2-1. So good for him.
He's 2-0 on Raw, man. He needs to have this match on Raw next week and not on pay-per-view.
Oh.
But yeah,
Sting's not winning. Sting, nope.
I mean, it really doesn't matter that much come the end of the day, but I was just really surprised that not only did Rollins get beat, but he tapped out.
Yeah, that's a weak finish.
I mean, he's your champion. I mean, you people talk about you want to make Rollins a strong guy. Guess what? He can't be – he's got to be made to look stronger. Yep. And by the way, someone pointed this out too. So last week the ratings for Raw were not good, okay? And some people are putting this on there's way too much Seth Rollins. He had that opening segment where he did the long promo. He had a match. He was all over the show. On this show, he was only quickly on the program during the first 2 hours and 50 minutes. He was one backstage promo. And it was with Triple H and Stephanie. It wasn't even a promo. It was just a segment, and it was very quick. So he was only involved for like a minute or two. And then he was involved in the final match of the show. But there was very little Seth Rollins going into Night of Champions.
Well, I think that's interesting, too, because he's the story of this coming Sunday. Like, that kind of bothered me. They've had him on TV so much, and you pull back the night that you're going into the pay-per-view. This is his Sunday. This is the Sunday where he's got two matches and possibly a third one with Sheamus if they play this tease out, which I kind of hope they do. So why would you – well, first off, why would you put him under like this and not have him out there a little bit more? Your ratings are going to be down no matter what you do. You're not going to compete with the NFL. Sorry, WWE. So at least do a little bit more with your champion. He's two champions. Night of Champions. Again, we're beating a dead horse.
I'll go through the lineup of Night of Champions here really quick, and we'll do that, and I'll give some predictions real quick, then we'll get some questions, and we'll also get to a couple other news and notes, okay?
All right, let's do it.
So here is your lineup for Night of Champions. Okay. You have the pre-show match, Neville and Lucha Dragons against the Cosmic Wasteland. I want them to come out to Teenage Wasteland from The Who.
Nah, you're just a Who fan.
There's a couple songs I like from them. Who's going to win that?
Cosmic Wasteland. That's where all your momentum is.
Now I'll go with Neville and Luchas then. Now here's another big point of contention that some people are wondering about. So obviously Seth Rollins has two matches. He's going to be defending the World Championship against Sting and the United States Championship against John Cena. There has been some rumblings and bumblings that the match with Sting might be earlier on the show, and the main event could be Rollins against Cena.
That would be a disaster.
I understand that you will have a better match against John Cena, but I agree that's a mistake. That the World Championship match does need to be on last.
You would literally be saying that the United States Championship match is more important than the World Heavyweight Championship.
I think what you should do is you should open the show with Rollins and Cena. Cena wins, and Rollins is freaking out the rest of the night and thinking he could lose both titles.
Yep.
And then he beats Sting in the main event. And that way he can say, I still got my title, and puts the U.S. title back on Cena. Why go through all of this that Rollins had to be a double champion only to lose it back to Cena? I don't know. But
I'm okay with that. No, that's fine with me, because it gave them an out last time, and it kind of made some fun storytelling, and it also gives them another co-main event level match with Cena and Rollins while still bringing in Sting. I think it, you know, keeps it kind of real too. People lose championships due to fluky reasons, and then they win them back. I'm okay with it.
They're doing the 6-man tag: Ambrose, Reigns, and a mystery partner against the Wyatt family.
Jared Fogle from Subway. No, wait.
Oh, my God. That's heat. no matter who the mystery person is, I think the Wyatt family and Braun Strowman have to win here.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think Braun's going to ragdoll somebody and get the win, which it is just not fair to that guy because he is not ready.
Yeah.
Even though he is a Chipotle fan, you know, and frequents the same location that I go to. But
there you go.
Anywhere's bright clothing.
Do what?
Anywhere's bright orange clothing while he's there, so you can't miss him. If he couldn't already because of how big he is.
They win. Wyatt family wins. The Shield version 2.0 does not win.
Let me ask you this one too. Coming off of this, could you see more angst between Ambrose and Reigns?
Yes.
I think they have to plant some seeds here, or they've already planted some seeds. I think they can do some more there. Not break them up yet, but I think they will tease that some more. And sooner or later, I think Reigns is going to turn heel.
It needs to happen. Reigns is insignificant right now.
By the way, I need to point something out that I missed from Raw tonight. So The Miz, in doing Miz TV, said the pay-per-view on Sunday is Hell in a Cell.
That's right.
He then went on Twitter afterwards and said that he is his handler or whoever he mentioned. I got to look that up, but whoever his helper or whatever screwed him on that. So he needed a good hand. And he asked if Zack Ryder was available. Oh, man. They're doing Dolph Ziggler against Rusev.
Uh-huh.
I think Rusev wins. Yeah, Rusev. I'll go with Rusev. New Day against the Dudley Boys for the tag team titles.
Dudley Boys.
I think Dudleys are going to win. I'd like to see New Day, but no matter what, this feud will continue. Ryback against Kevin Owens for the Intercontinental Championship.
Owens?
We're praying for Owens. Mm-hmm. Way hard. I will read The Secret if you allow Kevin Owens to get the win. And then they're doing the Divas Championship, Charlotte against Nikki Bella. I think Nikki's going to win.
I guess so.
So, I mean, they're having the big Bella-bration on SmackDown now that she is the longest reigning WWE Divas Champion of all time.
Will you tune in to SmackDown for a second week in a row?
Sure, why not? I watch SmackDown. It's just I don't watch it live, and I skip some parts.
I watch it whenever they show the replays on Raw. It's the same thing.
There you go. So that's what's going on for Night of Champions. By the way,
You predict Sting to lose, right?
I do predict Sting to lose.
Gotcha. Me too.
We will be here doing another live broadcast immediately following Night of Champions on Sunday night.
I'm not leaving until Sunday night. So, you know, my beer's back there, my TV, my computer's right here. TV's
very nice. Very nice. So everybody can join in. We'll do the live broadcast, taking your questions and talking about Night of Champions and everything that is going on. So join us immediately, find Night of Champions on Sunday nights, and we will talk about that show. Couple quick news and notes I wanted to mention that's going around. We talked about Kurt Angle earlier. So Kurt said that when his contract with TNA comes up later this year, he is not renewing his contract. He said taking time off. He's not retired, but he is taking time off. But he is going to wrestle at Bound for Glory coming up next month.
Live from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Woo! So Kurt's going to be wrestling there. But after that, who knows? And he says he is not going to pursue a return to WWE. Mobile Force Wrestling, here he comes.
There you go.
Maybe. I don't know what's going to go on with Kurt, but I don't
Going back to the Olympics, man. It's time.
Right. Well, I don't think TNA can afford him, and I don't know what's next for him. If he retires, I wouldn't blame him, and that'd be perfectly fine.
WrestleCade 2015, baby.
That would be great. He should show up there, but I don't know what's going to happen with Kurt. I mean, he's not going to pop up in WWE. I mean, they just don't want him.
Yeah, I think it's I always think there's an outside chance until it doesn't happen. So I'm not going to say no, but he's due for a Hall of Fame induction sometime in the next 5 years. So we'll see.
And the one guy, though, from TNA, and something that I think I've said, and I think you've agreed to me for a long time, that we could see return there, and whose contract is coming up, is Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy.
And the interesting thing about that is, if you've frequented WWE.com lately, like over the last couple of weeks, there have been some Hardy-related questions. In fact, they had one question that said, who would you like to see return to WWE? And I believe Jeff Hardy won that poll. And Angle was in that thing, too. But, I mean, they've had more Hardy-related stuff. I don't know if that means maybe they would bring back Matt as well and have the tag team, or maybe they're more interested in Jeff. And who knows if Jeff would want to go back there. I mean, I did an interview with Jeff about a year or so ago, and he said he would be interested in going back before the end of his career. But I also think if he was to go back, number one, it would be a big thing for WWE to take him back, considering his past. But I think he's been clean and, you know, hasn't acted up in so long that I think they'd be interested in him. He's still a draw. But would they give him the schedule he would want? Because even with the Dudleys, they're working a full-time schedule.
Right.
So would they give Jeff Hardy the special schedule that he would want where he wouldn't have to work? I'm not saying it's a Brock Lesnar schedule, but it would obviously be limited.
Yeah, I see that not happening. They'll probably give him a little bit of flexibility only because he is a name. He's such a big name, but he's not going to have that level of flexibility that he would want. I think they're going to want him to do some more. Who knows? Who knows? Desperate times. And it does seem like they're in the process of bringing back, like they had Edge and Christian on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast last week. The Dudleys are back. There's a little bit of a tag team Attitude Era vibe right now that could really work out.
You know why? It's because of ratings. I mean, yeah. Here's the thing. Okay. So there's been some talk, and I'll give credit to David Shoemaker over at Grantland. He wrote an article talking about how wrestling is kind of cool again right now. Okay. I agree, but only to a certain extent. Here's why. Only for the big event. When you talk about WrestleMania, it became a big deal. Ronda Rousey was there. The Rock, social media, got coverage on ESPN Sports Center. SummerSlam, another big event for WWE. Got a lot of publicity, did really well for them. SportsCenter covered it. They actually had Jonathan Coachman there, and they had a set right outside the Barclays where it was taking place. So when it comes to big events, WWE is, you know, an it factor. It's an in thing now. It's kind of cool, but only for the big events. When you talk about wrestling being back and being, you know, a hit again, or being, you know, in the public eye, only for the larger-than-life events. When it comes for the week-to-week stuff, it is not. Because if you look at the ratings for Raw, it has trended downward. If you go back to 3 or 4 years ago, the numbers have dropped quite a bit. And you look at right now, you know, the numbers have not been that great over the summer. And then now they're going to dip even more because of football is back. I mean, they didn't do that well last week. And that was against you know, the number one ranked Ohio State Buckeyes in college football. And now they're having to go up against Monday Night Football. And guess what? On SmackDown Thursday nights, they're going up against Thursday Night Football. And it could be the crappiest matchup the NFL has to offer, but it's still the NFL. And the NFL just does incredible ratings. So to me, you can't say, well, wrestling is really, buzzing. It's really the cool thing right now. It's one thing to talk about on social media, but big events, yes, people are there. People will still show up for WrestleMania and SummerSlam and Royal Rumble, the big events like that. But when it comes to the week-to-week stuff, wrestling is not there. It's never going to get back to Attitude Era-like numbers because there's just too many other things that are going on. It can't get back to that. But you're talking about, could it ever get back to really good numbers? You'd think it should be doing like at least in the mid-threes. I mean, they're way down from that, and they've got a big uphill battle to climb to get back to that. And I mean, actually I to get to fours if I'm looking at the numbers right, but it's going to be really tough for them to get to that point. And you know, I mean, the numbers are up for the WWE network on a whole. A lot of that is because they're in so many different countries now, but you know, the numbers for Raw have to be troubling.
And so where you are right now, I think is WWE's at that that comic book moment from around the early to mid 2000s where comic books kind of became popular again, but it still wasn't that kind of hip thing that everybody knows. And now in the last 5 to 10 years, comic book movies especially have led this resurgence of both comic book culture and geek culture. WWE is at that critical mass point from late 90s, early 2000s, where people are catching on, like it's a thing, but they don't follow it religiously. I'm not saying that WWE is going to get to that big number again, that big name again. It could not, but they're not pop culture mainstream enough yet, so you still got a ways to go before that happens.
I want to remind everybody that is helping us out on Patreon, thank you for everybody. We appreciate that. Some shout outs to everybody out there that is supporting us on Patreon. If you're not and you can go to patreon.com/between the ropes. Here's why you should, because we want to make sure we keep doing Between the Ropes. And guess what? Everything that we do costs a little bit of money for website costs, server costs. We want to be able to devote more of our time to Between the Ropes. And that means we need a little bit of monetary help. If you cannot give us money, if you cannot support us in that manner, we totally understand it. And there's a lot of other ways that you can support Between the Ropes by sharing the word, Sharing this video, subscribing to us, talking about us on social media. It's fantastic.
Buying a copy of Mad Max on Blu-ray.
There I mean, you can do that too. You know, make sure that FanDuel rewards me for finishing number one in a tournament. That's all great. But if you can't help us out and you can donate to us and you can pledge on Patreon, that's fantastic. Whether it's $1, $2, $5 more, we have some different tiers that are up there where you can get some stuff from us for the more that you donate per month. But even if it's just $1 a month, I mean, we're doing at least, you know, we're doing these shows once a week plus the pay-per-view. And that's not even counting all the other audio podcasts we do on BetweenTheRopes.com. But even for just the videos that we do, that's 20 cents a video if you donate $1 a month. And if you can do that, and other people do that, everybody that subscribed to us on YouTube did that, we would be doing fantastically well. And we'd be punching out a lot more content. But $1 a month, it's not that much. I understand for some people it can be, but if you can even donate that, that'd be greatly appreciated. And we appreciate everybody that is pledging money to us on Patreon right now. Once again, it's patreon.com/betweentheropes. So let's get to some questions before we get out of here.
We should talk the Divas match, main eventing the next NXT TakeOver event.
Right. So they're going to do an 100-woman match. Sasha Banks against Bayley. 30-minute Iron Woman match, and that will be the main event of a TakeOver happening in early October.
That's huge, man.
That's fantastic. You know it's going to be a really, really good match.
I think it's awesome that they're giving them that platform. Triple H, obviously, is spearheading that.
Let me ask you this on that note real quick. Should the Divas match tonight have been the main event?
Not with that crappy angle, it shouldn't have.
I agree. Not with that finish that they had. No way. Say they had switched the title, even though you had Go Home Show for Night of Champions, Sting was going to wrestle, all that stuff. Should that have been in the main event if they were going to switch the title?
Yes,
I agree.
Yes, especially if you were leaving on that angle. I mean, Sting wrestling was a big thing, but with that angle, yeah, I think so.
I never thought it was going to happen, but. And it didn't happen. And actually, you know, looking at it, because the finish that they did, it's a good thing it didn't close it. But, you know, that would have signaled maybe a change or, hey, we're going to take this a little bit more serious if they had done that. So they didn't. I mean, they've done it in the past, but it's been very rare that they've done that on Raw. Maybe once or twice they've closed with a women's match.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they're doing it on NXT. I mean, NXT just uses the women in a different manner. And, you know, Sasha Banks against Bayley, 30-minute Iron Woman match. It's going to be fantastic, and people are going to love it. And it should be the main event.
Yep, I agree. So here's the deal. I just told somebody we'd get to the whole Earl Hebner being inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame news story in the 1 a.m. hour. That's the last thing I want to talk about. So let's pound through some questions so I can...
Hey, on Earl Hebner's plaque, will it say he screwed Brett?
Yes. Actually, you know what they're going to do? They're going to give him a counterfeit plaque. That's going
to
be
the... You know what I want them to do? I want him to be accepting it, and then Earl actually comes out, and it's actually his twin brother Dave that's accepting it. So they do the whole twin, you know, Hebner angle. No, it's mine. I'm Earl. No, I'm Earl. No, I'm Earl. You know, and they, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's perfect. Nice.
And then Andre the Giant rises from the dead. Oh, you cost me the title.
All right, hit the question music. Let's do it. You can always ask us questions right here in the chat room, facebook.com/betweentheropes, and wherever else questions are found. Got to kick it off today. Connor Mighell. I think that's M-I-G-H-E-L-L. Mm. Connor writes in, after the disaster that was the Charlotte-Nikki finish, do you care whether Charlotte wins the belt Night of Champions? I think we've talked about this some, but I would say I could care less.
Unfortunately, it has been tainted now. And I think they should keep it on Nikki, and Charlotte shouldn't win it right now. And they should wait till it's a big moment, put it on a bigger stage maybe.
Yep.
I mean, Night of Champions is a big stage, obviously, but I think it's just too close to what they did, and it kind of ruined that moment.
Yep, I agree. Jim Mills writes in. I think we both said no to this. He asked about Charlotte, if she would win the Divas title at Night of Champions. He also asked, with the great talent and ring experience of Kana, how long do you think she will be in NXT before she gets called up to the main WWE Divas roster?
I think it's going to be a little while for a couple of factors. Number one, they just brought up three women from NXT to the main roster. So they need some other women in NXT right now. And, you know, we haven't even seen much of the new women from a standpoint of them being singles. There's still a lot of different things they can do. They can break them apart from the group, and you can have a much deeper division and see them develop a lot more. So I think it's going to be a while before we see her get brought up. It's like, plus, you have to come up with a good angle for her, for to make reason for her to be there.
It's like you always say, Brian, when we talk about this, is that we have to keep in mind they're keeping people down at NXT. They are still running a show and a promotion down there in NXT. We say down. I think that's kind of demeaning. But in NXT, we'll say physically south, so down from Connecticut on the map. Down at NXT, they're still running a promotion down there, and they need to keep talent there, first, to help keep the show afloat, and secondly, to help build up some of the younger stars. So I think this is the perfect kind of situation for her. So I think she'll be down there for probably a year. I would be surprised to see her up before next summer.
Let me ask you this quick hypothetical. Okay. Considering the characters that we're probably going to see from her, strong style, Japanese wrestler, probably pretty serious, right? And we know the character that Bayley has. Which one do you think is a better fit whenever the time comes of going to the main roster? I think Bayley, I'm a little bit concerned, as talented as Bayley is and as over as she is at NXT, I wonder if that is an act that has a, you know, gets over in NXT because of that audience, but does not translate well to the main roster.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there, but I also think she's, unfortunately, she's just generic enough they could find her a spot, and that the entertainment era that is Monday Night Raw right now.
Right. Hey, those big inflatables, you know, the wavy guys, man, that puts a smile on anybody's face, though.
Oh, that's true. Francis writes in.
Yes.
He asked about Total Divas. It's too much to talk about in one show. We'll have to do another podcast this week on that one. He also asked us, with Global Force Wrestling just signing a TV deal, when do you think we will see it on TV?
In the United States? Yes. Not anytime soon.
2016.
Maybe. Well, the TV deal that they signed, I don't think they've signed it yet, but they've come close to signing. Or I think actually they did get a deal, but it's over in the UK.
But if you come to WrestleCade here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, November something something, the weekend after Thanksgiving, you can see Jeff Jarrett, the owner and current owner of Global Force Wrestling and current reigning King of the Mountain champion.
No, he is not the reigning King of the Mountain
champion. Oh, that's right.
Watch your freaking wrestling.
You watch your wrestling. Nick Doucette writes in, when will Sheamus cash in and will he be successful?
I think it's got to be a while before Sheamus cashes in because he is not hot right now. And they've got to get him up to a certain level. If he cashed in now and say he won it, the crowd would hate that. So
Sunday, 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 baby.
I wonder if they're going to do something to where maybe he has to defend that and actually loses that briefcase before he ever gets cashed in.
You think so? That would be a – ugh. That'd be a bad angle
right now, man. Mm. I mean, it's not all his fault. I mean, they keep putting in these matches against Orton that nobody cares about, and they keep doing the even Steven booking.
TWK Reviews writes in, which female wrestlers would you like to see WWE sign?
That is an interesting question, and quite honestly, I don't know. I haven't been keeping up on my women's wrestling as much.
You're the one. You went to that that Shine event last year, right?
Yes, I did.
How was that?
You know, it was a show. Well, I mean, I'd like to see him bring Blue Pants up to the main roster.
Okay, we're getting somewhere now.
Do you see where supposedly she is not exactly the favorite among some people in NXT.
Haven't seen that.
Yeah, that's because it's like she's got a sweet deal. This comes from the Observer. So give a lot of credit to Dave Meltzer here. But the talk right now, the rumor mill saying that she's, and it's no fault of her own, she's been given a good spot. She gets to be on TV. She gets to be in pretty good angles. And yet she's not under contract there. She gets to do other outside bookings and everything. And so she's got a sweet spot. She's got a great deal. And just some people are jealous.
Hmm.
Something I haven't seen before. Which, yes, I apologize, but I have not been keeping up on my female wrestling outside of WWE. So
there you go. Brian Fritz.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. I can't give you a sincere answer about it.
Perpetual women's wrestler hater, Brian Fritz.
Okay, then why don't you tell me?
Matt Mew writes in.
Michael, which women would you like to see join the WWE roster or get signed?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because I was just literally catching up on the latest episodes of Shine. And I got to tell you that Allison Kay down there and Santana, they're both fantastic. Mm. Yeah, the Lucha Sisters would make a great act with, the Lucha Dragons.
Mm.
And, we talk about SoCal Val. I actually do like SoCal Val. But,
do you think, let me ask you this, because somebody just brought this up. Matt brought this up in the chat room. If and when Gail Kim became available, do you think WWE would be interested in bringing her back?
Well, wasn't there some bad blood, right?
I don't know. She's still a fantastic worker. She's in her mid-30s now.
Yeah. I mean, I thought there was some bad blood, though, just between, like, her and WWE for some reason.
I don't know. Okay. You know why she got signed, of course? Jim Ross telling the story, like, but Vince, she's Asian. And you know how men like Asian porn.
Right. okay. Before we get too far beaten past. Speaking of Matt also asked.
Research on that.
Matt. Swipe left. Ah. Matt also.
Swipe it, all right.
Matt also asked, with the way Singh has been used these last 4 weeks, do you think it's possible he will stick around after the Night of Champions?
Absolutely. I think he's going to be on WrestleMania next year.
I think he means more immediately. And I would say
no.
That's why I don't think he has a shot in Hades of winning the belt. I think he'll be in. He might come back around Survivor Series.
Could he be in the Royal Rumble?
Yes.
Okay.
Would that be fun? That would be so much fun.
Sure. Put him in there.
And finally, we'll go out on another Divas question, since this seems to be the hot topic tonight. Ratnick writes in, Sable for the Hall of Fame this year? They're short on Diva candidates and are on good terms with Brocky.
That would make a lot of sense. And she definitely deserves to be in.
Yep. I think you should probably not call Brock Lesnar Brocky. That's bruising for a bruising.
Let's put it this way. Okay. I was told by another WWE superstar of a nickname that some people had for Brock Lesnar when he was first with the company. Me and a couple of my smart-ass friends, me being a smart-ass as well, decided we're going to be the cool kids and go to a house show, stand in the third row, and when Brock Lesnar was locking up with his opponent, who that night would have to be Ric Flair, and we were very close and the place was quiet, we decided to chant this nickname. The nickname was Vanilla Gorilla. we chanted it about two or three times, and as Brock and Ric went to lock up, Brock decided not to lock up, take a step back, and then as he has back to us, do this slow over-the-shoulder look at us, and we went, Vanilla Gorilla, oh, that wasn't me. That was that.
There you go.
So, yeah.
And one
name for Brock Lesnar.
That's right. And one final note, Nick Dusat also wrote in, one final ask BTR, Nikki Bella sucks.
I don't think she's that bad. But reminder to everybody, we are going to be back on Sunday night, immediately following Night of Champions. So you can join us here on our YouTube channel, on the Google Hangout. We'll be talking a lot about that show and what we can expect for Raw and any other news and notes that happens. Don't forget, you can check us out at BetweenTheRopes.com for some other podcasts that we have, just the audio version. And if you missed any portion of this or want to listen to it back, we'll have the audio podcast up sometime on Tuesday. And you can also subscribe to us on iTunes and on Stitcher for the podcast. And a reminder, especially when it comes to iTunes, please rate us and review us on there. That helps us out a lot. when it comes to that. And a couple other notes, you can follow us on Twitter. It's at Between the Ropes. Check out our Facebook page as well. Just go to facebook.com/Between the Ropes. And, of course, if you can pledge on Patreon, helping us out, that would be greatly appreciated. Just go to patreon.com/Between the Ropes. So thanks again, Michael. I know you had to tough it out with the little bit banged up, but the Coors Light got you through. Along with the Starship
Enterprise. There we go. We're off the air now, right? We're done? We're good?
No. You were Star Trek in there. So thanks, Michael. I'm Brian Fritz. We appreciate everybody for joining us. Between the Ropes. Talk to you next time.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.